Well, it's official. Move over, Queen Elizabeth. Burger King is taking over beloved Canadian coffee purveyor Tim Horton. The company's taxes will be a lot lower due to the move, although Burger King swears that wasn't the reason for the acquisition. The business angle of the deal has been scrutinized ad nauseum, but what about the more tender aspects of this takeover? What do Canadians think about the Americanization of their beloved Timmies? Les Lane, legislative reporter for the Victoria Times columnist, joins us once again. Hello, Les.
Morning, Marcy.
I hope you're not in mourning, but let's take a step back from your emotional reaction to this acquisition and explain to us, what does Tim Hortons mean to Canadians?
I don't know how they did it, Marcy, but it's been in business for 50 years. It's a coffee shop that looks a lot like every other coffee donut shop in the world. But I think for a fairly astute marketing strategy over the long haul, they've created themselves and become a Canadian institution. It's an absolutely fundamental Canadian thing to go into Tim Hortons and order a double-double. That's two cream, two sugar, and a donut. You're not just buying a coffee and a donut. You're kind of reconfirming your Canadian identity. It's mystifying to a lot of people, I'm sure, but it's just fundamentally part of the fabric.
Who was Tim Horton, by the way?
Tim Horton was an all-star defenseman for the Toronto Maple Leafs, who I think I named a kitten after him when I was 10 years old.
So he was beloved himself.
The name resonates all the way through history as a hockey star, and very shrewdly he invested some of his money and started it off years and years ago.
Well, so given that this is a Canadian institution, an icon coffee shop, if you will, and that Tim Horton himself was a Canadian icon of your national sport, how do Canadians feel about the Burger King Tim Horton deal?
Well, it's possible to overreact to this, and you have to keep in mind that right now it's a giant company. This deal's worth $12 billion, so if you stand back and regain your composure, it's just a lot of corporate shuffling that I don't think is going to fundamentally tear this country apart. The essential thing to remember is that Tim Hortons, as a corporate entity, was owned lock, stock, and barrel by another American corporation, Wendy's, for 11 years from 95 to 2006, and the country held together through that. So I think we'll be able to survive this as well.
Burger King is not the only company from the U.S. that's acquired a Canadian business so it could keep assets and can move assets to Canada. So tell me, what about the Canadian tax code is so inviting to U.S. companies?
Yeah, the fundamental thing in the U.S., just from a bird's eye perspective, is that U.S. Company that operates all over the world, they get their income taxed at U.S. rates no matter where they make it, essentially. You make widgets in Europe or something, when the profits flow back to the U.S., you're taxed on that at the U.S. rate, which adds up to a pretty, just not so huge, but a significant difference. So the new arrangement with Burger King, Tim Hortons, which incidentally is there's a Brazilian investment firm that's very heavily involved in this as well. They more or less control Burger King. The headquarters of this new outfit is nominally going to be in Canada, purely for tax reasons. And that will, I think, probably benefit the new entity, depending on how much growth they do around the world as the years go by.
What does Canada get from all of this?
We get to boast that we're the home host country for this giant new food conglomerate. And I guess Tim Hortons, as long as the coffee tastes the same, I don't think the lineups are going to abate. They have an absolute lock on fast food coffee in Canada. I think 75% of the fast food coffee served in this country is at Tim Hortons, which anybody who stands in the lineup, as I did 3 hours ago, can attest. It's a very successful enterprise in Canada, but they've always had trouble expanding into the U.S., which is also part of this arrangement.
I'm talking with Les Lane. He's a legislative reporter for the Victoria Times columnist and a Tim Hortons patron. Tim, if you're Les, if you're on social media, you've probably seen videos of the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, right? people pour ice water over their heads. They're raising money to fight a horrible disease. And so one of the latest celebrities to take the challenge is Leonardo DiCaprio. Listen to this.
I happen to be here with a few friends in Alberta learning more about the Canadian tar sands, its impact on our climate, and the way they affect the lands, water, and health of the indigenous communities that live here. We're here to accept the ALS challenge, and I'm happy to donate to this very worthy cause. Now our challenges.
I challenge Dave Collier, the president of the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers.
I challenge Mark Little of Suncor Canada.
I challenge Ben Von Burden, the CEO of Shell.
And I challenge Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister of Canada.
Okay, Leonardo DiCaprio, the president of the Sierra Club and First Nation chiefs who are wherever they were. That, Les, was not about ALS so much as the tar sands, was it?
Very cheeky.
Yes.
He made a significant media impression with that challenge a few days ago. It hasn't been accepted. I think politicians have probably been grappling with this for a few months now. Everybody in the world almost has done the challenge by now. But Prime Minister Harper is holding off. He's made donations to ALS societies, but he's not accepting these challenges, and he hasn't been dunked yet, at least voluntarily. So he's going to hold off. But DiCaprio is up in northern Alberta. He's got some environmental credentials, and he's one of many celebrities lately who've been touring the tar sands and coming back very unimpressed with all the damage done up there. They're trying to make an issue of it, and this is one way to enhance the kind of media exposure he's been getting. He's working on a documentary.
I see. Do you think that this message is going to resonate in northern Alberta?
It's getting, I noticed in some of the coverage, there's I think people are a little bit weary of celebrities kind of jetting in. There were some very pointed criticisms of celebrities coming in for very short stints, weekends or a few hours, helicoptering and looking over the oil sands development, and then just coming out strongly opposed to it without looking too deeply into all the very complicated ins and outs associated with that. Some people, I guess, are rolling their eyes. Other people are wildly supportive of drawing attention to it. So it's a mixed bag.
Right. Les Lane, legislative reporter for the Victoria Times columnist, has been filling in for Vaughn Palmer the past few weeks. Thank you so much, Les.
Nice to talk to you, Marcy.
It's The Record.